Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book. I am P.J. Lynch, Laureate Nanogue of Ireland, and you're listening to Night, Night, Northwest.
Hello to everyone here and to all our listeners at home. You're all very welcome to Twin Towns Library, Stranorlar in County Donegal, for the third programme in our series called Night Night Northwest. Over the course of this series, we will bring you 9 unique programmes, all based on Irish children's literature. You will hear stories about giants, sunbeams, a happy prince, and even a little boy called Tom who refuses to wear shoes. We are delighted to be joined today by the pupils from
St. Mary's.
And what class are you guys?
Senior infants.
Senior infants.
Our guest author and reader, Marion Rose McFadden, will be reading 2 of her books, The Sunbeam Path and The Dolmen Arch. Are you all ready for stories, guys?
Yeah!
Do you like stories?
Yeah!
Okay, I'll hand it over to you, Marion.
Very good. Okay, so the first one we're going to read is called The Sunbeam Path. And I have one here, all done out big so that you can actually see the pictures. Nora liked slides and swings. She liked colouring in things. She liked shiny red shoes and jumping in puddles. She liked bright blue socks. And she liked bursting bubbles. She liked fairy stories and loved story time and reading along with words that would rhyme. The only thing better was when Rosie came by. They'd blow bubbles outside and see whose could fly high. One day as the bubbles danced in the breeze, a strange wisp appeared, then flew off through the trees. Did you see it, Auntie Rosie? Did you see it as it passed? I think it was a fairy. Although it moved so fast.
Shh, said Auntie Rosie. They appear to very few. Not everyone can see the world like little children do. These wisps are not the fairies. They appear only by day. They're the smaller second cousin, the shyer demi-fae. Now Nora knew how rare fairy sightings could be. She also knew that fairies preferred being called the she. She hadn't heard about the demi-fae before. Of course, Aunt Rosie knew a lot about folklore. Rosie showed her how to glimpse them with a sidelong glance, because the demi-fae will disappear given half a chance. She showed Nora how the wisps could be seen, shimmering and shining in every sparkling thing. Whenever you see a rainbow, they're sure to be nearby, camouflaged in colours, riding raindrops from the sky. But bubbles are the best when they glisten in the sun, and trying to catch the bubbles is lots and lots of fun. Rosie taught her how to use the crystal prism to create the sunbeam path and the colours with the glimmering. The sun would strike the crystal, creating powerful blades of light, and the sunbeam path would fracture if the angles were just right. They'd appear upon the walls from flashing magic doors, the colours opening windows on the ceilings and on the floors. Rosie taught her a new song, an ancient magic verse, so that demi-fae could hear her and she could earn their trust. I am of Ireland and the holy land of Ireland. I'm calling on the she. Come, come dance with me. Come out of sweet charity and dance with me in Ireland. Some demi-fae wear cobweb shirts or flower petal dresses with complex spiral patterns and silly frilly tassels, and long-toed curly boots or odd-coloured shoes. Some wear bits of shell and have face tattoos as well. Some demi-fae have cool names like Mauve and Heather, and some of them look very strange like Coltsfoot and Feather. Coltsfoot wears a cloak of green as he hides among the grass. He has spiky yellow hair and an arm ring made of brass.
Mauve's skin is actually mauve, only mottled like foxglove. Her hair is a turquoise blue, and her wings have an indigo hue. Feather looks all round and blurry, all soft and fuzzy and very funny. He likes the nickname Puff, and bouncing round like a piece of fluff. Heather's very fast and fond of playing tricks. She likes joining Nora to practice gymnastics. The demi-fae love hiding in among the rocks and trees. They sometimes use their magic, disappearing as they please. Her brother teased her rotten, said they weren't really there because he couldn't see them, but Nora didn't care. You never see germs either, but you still need to wash your hands. You never see sloths or lemurs because they come from other lands. Nora would see them by the river or even in the bath, or would take the crystal prism and make the sunbeam path. A fairy lord called Keelcha appeared one afternoon. He had a tiny fiddle with him and he played a lively tune. Mauve told her how the fairies live within the hollow hills or in enchanted castles where we see only ruins. She told her how Keelcha was of a different sort. He rides with a fairy host and has his own dune or fort. Puff whispered secrets of ways from our world into their own, of castles and dolmen archways and magic circles made from stone. Nora got very excited, asking how could she get there? When Puff suddenly cried, "Oh, you'd never dare!" Mauve wouldn't tell her either, repeating, "You're not allowed to know." Then Keelcha gave a flourish, saying, "I can make it so. It would be my pleasure if you'd come visit my dune. The dolmen arch will open in the light of the full moon. And although you'd have to wait a while, the moon was a tiny sliver. When Nora told her halfling friends, they were all a quiver. They were so excited. They jumped and flipped and twirled. They couldn't wait until she could share their world. And meanwhile, they would visit through the prism and sunbeams. And until she goes to fairyland, Nora will visit in her dreams. Sweet dreams." So there you have it. That's the story about the sunbeam path. Now, I have a couple of questions for you. Has anyone ever seen the fairies?
Martha? I've seen the fairies.
Did you? And did they look like the ones in the book here? Did they look like Mauve? Or Puff?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that what they look like? What about you, Ella?
No, I never seen any.
You never seen any. Nathan?
I seen them.
Did you? And what about the wisps of light? Did you see them as the wisps of light? Sometimes people look because they're so fast.
I seen one in a rainbow.
Yeah, they really like rainbows. And have any of you ever seen a prism? Yeah? Everyone's seen the prism? What comes out of the prism when you see the prism? Go on.
Fairies.
Fairies. Because the prism breaks up the sunbeam path into lots of colours, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of that story?
Good.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Coltsfoot, and he wears a cloak of green. He's a bit of an explorer. And here's Mauve with her mottled skin. And who's this guy? Can anyone remember his name?
Puff.
Puff. He's my favourite.
Good boy, Curtis. You were listening.
Yeah. And this is Heather. Does she look like Heather?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what Heather looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah. She looks like Heather. You possibly wouldn't even notice her.
So, Nathan, you were saying that you saw a fairy before. Where did you see the fairy?
In the rainbow.
Where was the rainbow?
Beside Supervisor.
Wow. Here in Stranor? I must check that out next time I'm in Supervisor. Was it a little boy or a little girl?
A girl.
Girl. Girl. Did she say anything to you? Was she very quick?
We're all going to have to keep an eye out at Super Value, aren't we? Has anyone else seen fairies? Yes, Emily?
I seen one when my tooth fell out at night.
Did you see the fairy?
And now I have a fairy door and her name was Tinsel.
And what happened? Tell us what happened.
She took my tooth and gave me 5 sterling.
5 sterling? That was a very valuable tooth, wasn't it? Yeah.
Because it was my first one.
Oh, that's good.
Can you remember at the end of the story now what Kielce said when he said that he could make it happen? He said that the Dolmen Arch would open in the light of the full moon. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So the second book is...
Dolmen Arch.
The Dolmen Arch. You're right, Kiva. So you are the first to actually get to hear the Dolmen Arch. Are you excited?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Dolmen Arch. It's a special kind of magic and a very pretty sight, making rainbows of colour from a single ray of light. When Nora spins her crystal, the demi-fae appear, or she sings her special song for the demi-fae to hear. Some demi-fae are friendly, like Heather, Mauve and Puff, or Coltsfoot and Bug Cotton, who the others just called Fluff. Nettle isn't quite as friendly. He has a stinging touch. He rarely joins the others, and he never says too much. Now, Kielce made a promise. When the moon was full, they planned to go through the Dolmen Arch and take the path to Fairyland. But Nora was getting nervous. She didn't know Kielce well. She worried about sneaking out and knew she had to tell. Stranger danger means being careful, and keeping secrets is very wrong. Never go anywhere with strangers. Nora had heard this all along. So she talked to Auntie Rosie. It was good to talk it through. And Aunt Rosie was very helpful in telling Nora what to do. Rosie gave her a small necklace, told her, take this fairy charm. Its magic will protect you and keep you safe from harm. Aunt Rosie called on Kielce. It appears she knew him well. He smiled at her and whispered, I'm still under your spell. He told Nora to be ready. I'll see you tomorrow night. And don't you worry, Rosie. I won't let her out of sight. Nora went to bed the following night, pretending to go to sleep, when she heard a gentle tapping. She jumped up with one big leap. She was really quite surprised to see herself still in the bed and linked to her belly button with a shimmering, shining thread. Come away, O human child, said Kielce through the glass. And suddenly she was out beside him with wet toes in the grass. I should have worn my shoes, she thought. And suddenly they were there upon her feet. Warm socks as well appeared from the thin air. Is this your magic? Nora asked, which caused Kielce to smile. No, that's your own imagination, but it's equally worthwhile. Nora thought some more and suddenly had a flashlight and biscuits too, and a small backpack that was very light but contained a thing or two. Are you ready there? Said Kielce, as he stretched out his hand. Let's ride my bike to the Dolmen Arch. Then it's off to Fairyland. It was already quite an adventure, although it had only just begun, and the dolmen in the moonlight was shining like the sun. Stone patterns started spiralling. Light flashed before her eyes. There was an awfully loud pop, popping. Then a beautiful bright sunrise. It hardly felt like travelling, but the world looked bright, strange and new, and from the same dolmen on the hill was a completely different view. The fairy host came charging up, Kielce's horse coming in behind. I want to ride with my friends, he said. Is that okay, or do you mind? Nora didn't know what to tell him, so she just said, it's okay. But she didn't feel very brave as she watched him ride away. She wished her friends were there, then remembered her special song. And with that, the demi-fae appeared. Some even sang along. I am of Ireland and the holy land of Ireland. I'm calling on the Sidhe. to come dance with me. Come out of sweet charity and dance with me in Ireland. Colesfoot was the first to move, saying, let's show her around. He dropped his cloak, said some Gaelic words, and it hovered off the ground. He invited Nora to step on board, and they started down the hill. It felt like riding a rippling cloud, very strange and quite a thrill. The flight went on for ages, through forest, field and fen, and ended up by the river in a little wooded glen. It was a perfect place for a picnic, and Nora was well prepared. She'd used her imagination, and now a delicious feast was shared. Then Nora started yawning. Oh, you're tired out, Mauve said. The moon is full tomorrow too. Just come back then instead. That sounds really good, said Nora. But where's Caolte to take me home? We were going to visit his fairy fort, then he left me all alone. He appeared as she was talking. Ah, Nora, I was only a word away. Of course you'll come back tomorrow night. It's only another day. Caolte snapped his fingers sharply and they were right back in her room where she saw herself still in the bed. Then he whispered, I'll see you soon. Sweet dreams. So that was Nora's trip into fairyland. What did you think of that, Ronan?
Good.
Good. What part did you like best?
The part when she was in sleep.
When she was still asleep in the bed? And then suddenly she was outside as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever go anywhere in your dreams?
No.
Leah, have you a question for Marion? What did you think of that story?
Good.
It was great, wasn't it? Yeah? What was your favourite bit?
The start.
Have you a question, Caoimhe?
My best part was when she went to Auntie Rosie and then she got the magic.
Yeah.
My favourite part was when she went to Fairyland and she said that it was the perfect place for a picnic.
That was a lovely bit. How did you come up with that bit, Marion?
Well, she used her imagination. Once she found out about her imagination, she realised that she could just imagine any kind of nice thing in her bag. So what do you think you would have imagined if you were going to have a fairy picnic? Caoimhe?
I'll just pack some sandwiches and that was it.
Just sandwiches? If you could use your imagination and come up with anything, what do you think would be at your party?
Everything.
Everything?
Saoirse?
I loved all of the bit of the story.
Oh, that's nice. She loved the whole story.
Thank you very much.
Nathan?
I like the bit where she went to sleep.
She went to sleep. She was very tired. Yeah.
I like the part where she found herself sleeping in her bed.
You all like the sleepy bit. Are you all tired? Are you all tired? Maybe the story made you all sleepy, did it? Because it's a bedtime story. Yeah.
Another Saoirse. I saw a fairy in the grass.
You saw a fairy in the grass. What did it look like? Do you remember? Was she colourful? Did she look like Nora?
I don't remember.
Oh, I know. She probably was moving so fast.
Ella. My granny gave me a desk and I write my name and my mum sometimes helps me write a book, but I don't really, I just write a book about myself sometimes.
Oh, that's a great start, isn't it, Marion?
It's a very good start. It's a very good way to start.
Do you have a desk that you write at?
No, I don't have a desk that I write at.
Where do you write?
I write wherever I am. I have a book with me all the time, so I might be down at the beach and I might have an idea and I'll write it into the book. Kiva, what's your question?
I made a book all by myself with imagination.
See, imagination is one of the most powerful things that you have. That's what Kilcha is trying to tell Nora in the story.
Amy.
How do you get all the things you have to do for it?
Well, there's actually a lot of things that you have to do for a book. You have to write the book, first of all, and then you've got to plan out what part of the book is that you actually want to put in the picture. Because sometimes there's more words than there are actual pictures, aren't there? Yeah. So in the one, for instance, where Nora is coming outside, she's first in her pajamas and then she has to imagine all of the clothes and everything else on. So you have to plan out what pictures go best with your story and how many pictures are in your story. So you're right, Amy, it can be very hard to actually plan out the whole story, especially when it's a picture book. There's a lot of things that you have to do.
You know what I've noticed? Has anyone else noticed this? Who does Nora look like? Who do you think Nora looks like, Kiva?
Who read the book?
The lady who read the book, Marion. Do you kids think Nora looks like Marion? Look. Why? Amy, why?
Because they have the same hair colour.
They have the same hair colour.
Yes. Well, I did actually send a picture of my little cousin to Michael and said, this is what Nora looks like. So Nora looks like my little cousin. And Aunt Rosie with her red hair as well, because red hair runs in the family.
So what type of stories do y'all like to read? Ella again.
I like reading stories about princesses.
You do? Tell us a princess story. What's the name of a princess story?
Ariel.
Ariel.
Ariel's yeah. One of my favourite princesses.
Do you like Ariel?
Oh, she's one of my favourites.
What's the so little good mermaid?
Because she, because the sea witch turned her into a person, and I like the bit where that she's a mermaid and she's swimming with the witches to evil pets.
You know the story really well.
Do you know my favourite part in this book? I think it has to be after Nora's little friends come to see her and Coltsfoot throws down his cloak and then he says some magic words. Yes, Nathan?
How does the cape of his fly?
How does he make his cape fly? He says some magic Gaelic words and it hovers off the ground. And Nora steps on board and it feels like riding a cloud, doesn't it? Very strange and quite a thrill.
Is this how you imagine fairies to look like? Ella, what does this fairy look like? Describe this fairy for us. What colour is he?
Green and his wings are purple.
Mmm. He's very tall and skinny. What about this one here? What's this one called, Marion?
That's Mauve.
What about Mauve? Ella, what does she look like?
She looks like a purple flower, only upside down.
That's exactly right. All of these ones, the demi-fae, they're like flower fairies.
That was very observant of you.
A very
upside
clever.
Down fairy.
And what flower does Puff look like? What flower does Puff look like, Kiva?
He just looks like a ball. Like a man.
You're absolutely right. He looks like a ball of fluff, like the dandelion Puff.
Oh, that's right. Look, guys. Okay, you're all brilliant.
Thank you, Marion.
You're very welcome. It was really lovely to be here with you to read my books.
Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book.
that's it from this episode of the series. I'd like to thank the children from St. Mary's National School, Stranaller. Please join us next week when we will be broadcasting from Milford Community Library, and our guest author and reader will be Owen McNeil. And in our audience will be the children from Skullmira, Milford. So until next week.
Shh. Night, Northwest.
The Sunbeam Path and the Dolmen Arch by Marion Rose McFadden. Illustrations by Michael Murray. Published by Demi-Fay. Night Night Northwest was produced, directed and presented by Alison Toomey and is a Real Films production which was funded by the Donegal County Council Library Service and the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.